Good morning. Today's Daf and Ksuva Samach Aleph on Samach Beis. We're halfway down in the Gemara. We're starting this morning with the words Tana Rabbanan. Yesterday and today, we're going to be discussing basically one topic. Today, we're going to be shifting just a little bit, but we're going to be talking about a woman and nursing. Why are we talking about women and nursing? Because it's one of her obligations. A woman's married. She has numerous obligations that she has to do, services that she has to perform for her husband, in this case, for her husband's child. That happens to be her child as well. But one of the obligations is going to be nursing. So there are many follow-up questions that we had yesterday in the Gemara regarding this obligation. The hiring of a wet nurse, right? We're going to continue discussing topics like those. Nursing a child until what age is the milk of a woman? I know it's a funny question, but we discussed this yesterday. Is the milk of a woman kosher? Right? What's the status regarding kosher? She expresses milk. She puts it in the fridge. Can somebody take it and drink it? Okay, I'm not sure how appealing that is. But in other words, the basic kosher issue. So these are the points of discussion that we had yesterday, and we're going to continue discussing today. Tana Rabbanan. So we're starting now with the Braisa. We are halfway down on Samach Amud Beis. So Nasna Benale Menekes O Gemalta O Meis Mutarsli Nasa Miyad. Okay, the concern is that a woman who is nursing, so she should not get remarried. And the reason why, meaning that Rachmanis, she had a baby, which is not a Rachmanis, that's a Mazel Tov, but unfortunately, soon thereafter, she lost her husband, or she got a divorce, and now she's looking to get remarried. So, what is the waiting period for her to get remarried? So there's a paternity issue, which I brought up yesterday, which requires her to wait 3 months before she gets remarried again, but that's just to establish paternity, who the father is. So the... But that's one discussion. But the other discussion is that if she's currently nursing right now, she's got to finish nursing. What's the problem? The problem is that if she marries another man, the other man will not be sensitive to the fact that she's currently nursing, meaning he'll know. But in other words, it's not his son. It's not his child. So he won't be sensitive. And he'll impregnate her. And then she'll stop lactating. And then this baby will lose its food source. Okay, so that's a consideration. Therefore, she should not get remarried. How long does she have to wait before she gets remarried? So we litigated this yesterday, Machlokas Beichamai Beisilol, in terms of whether or not it's 24 months, whether it's 18 months. Then we had another discussion yesterday whether you can cut out 3 months from that number, because anyway, even if she were to become pregnant, it would take her three months for her to lose her milk. Okay, all that we discussed yesterday. Now, the Gemara's discussion over here revolves around the following. Let's say we're in the same scenario where she had a child, then she lost her husband, and she's looking to get remarried, but she's no longer nursing. Why is she no longer nursing? So various reasons why she's no longer nursing. So, Nasna Benala Minekis, let's say she gave her child over to a wet nurse, or a mace, or Rachmanis, the child died. Let me go in order. Nasna Benala Minekis, she handed her child over to a wet nurse. O Gemalto, or let's say the child weaned. And it was a little bit early, but the child weaned. Omei, so the child Rechmanas died. So in all these circumstances, she's allowed to get married immediately thereafter, because once again, now there simply is no longer a concern. So Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Bered, Rav Yeshua, several Amavadub, Dikiyah Masnisa. So Rav Papa and Rav Huna were both of the position that, look, we just learned to brace it together. That must be the halacha. A Shaila came to them. Regarding this woman who, again, she had a child, she is looking to get married, and she's no longer nursing for whatever the reason was. And the Braisa just taught us that she can get married now. So, Amr Lahu Aisafta Bididi Ava Uvda Vasili Rav Nachman. So an elderly woman went over to these Amorim and said, look, I'm telling you what happened. In other words, I remember a shy like that. Actually, she says, Bididi Ava Uvda, meaning was by me that there was a Shaila. And Rav Nachman said no, meaning that once there is a standard waiting period, so there are no exceptions. But there's a good reason why we should make an exception. Good, there's a good reason. No exceptions. Okay. So we need the Gemara says Rav Nachman Sharul Lebei Reish Galusa. So the Gemara says okay, but I'll show you an inconsistency within Rav Nachman, because what happened with Rav Nachman is that the Bei Reish Galusa were asking a similar question. In the family of the Reish Galusa, the women haven't given birth, so they wanted to know whether or not they need to wait the requisite amount of time before they get remarried. And Rav Nachman to the Bei Reish Galusa, so he said, you can go get remarried. In other words, they hired a wet nurse, right, in that particular case. You'll see why I know that in just a moment. So they hired a wet nurse in that particular case, and now, okay, so we're not nursing anymore. Can we get married even earlier than waiting 24 months, 18 months, whatever the requisite period of waiting time is? And he said to the Bay Reish Galusa, it's okay. You can now go get married early. And so obviously now what presents to us is an inconsistency, which is that Rav Nachman to this elderly woman said, no, you can't marry early. And to the Bay Reish Galusa, he said, you can marry early. Okay, so the Gemara says, Shani Bay Reish Galusa, Delo Hadra Behu. So the Gemara's answer is that for the Bay Reish Galusa, so no one's gonna be chozer. Meaning, Rashi explains over here, is that when the Bay Reish Galusa hires somebody, so Bay Reish Galusa is an extraordinarily intimidating cast of characters. In other words, they're basically the political head of the Babylonian community, right? They are the nobility, if you will, right? You contract to work for them. You're not backing out of that contract. If they're hiring a wet nurse, okay, the wet nurse is coming. All right. For the rest of us, when we hire somebody, they may come, they may not come. You never know. But when the Reish Galusa hires somebody, so they're not retracting. So it's funny, by the way, because we just got done saying there are no exceptions. And meanwhile, okay, there are exceptions. Okay. So Amalu Rav Papi Va'ato and Lo Tizberu Meha. So now Rav Papi says to Rav Huna, to Rav Papa and to Rav Huna, now, why don't you subscribe to the following? Meaning that Rav Papa and Rav Huna for a moment was considering making exceptions to the rule. Let's take the following into consideration. The time we have a braisa. Numerous different circumstances in which we know that husband and wife are not having relations. Obviously, that is an extraordinarily intimate piece of information, but we know. How do we know they're not having relations? There are many ways in which would be good indications. Number one, she's going back to her family all the time. Number two, Rachmanis, we're hearing the discord in the home. There's no shalom bayis in the home. Number three is that somebody sitting in prison. Number four, Shayach Bala la Medina Sayam, or he went away on a really long business trip. Oshayach Bala Zakeno Chola, or the husband's really old or really sick. Oshahaisa Akara Uzakena, or maybe she's old and not able to conceive. So, or islandist, or maybe she has the status of an islandist. Kitana, or maybe she's a minor. Hamapel Sachamisa's Bala, or maybe she just miscarried. Vishena Rui Leleid, or maybe she just had a hysterectomy. Okay, there are a number of different circumstances in which we know she's not pregnant. So, Kulan Srichel Hamtin Shlosha Chadashim. And meanwhile, upon the occasions in which they're now looking for their next husband, so in all these circumstances, they have to wait the requisite 3 months in order to establish paternity. Yeah, but she wasn't impregnated by her previous husband. Don't care. Meaning once we have legislation that you have to wait 3 months, you have to wait 3 months. It's really that simple. That's divrei bimeir. And then Rabbi Yossi Batir, le'aris v'le'anasamiyad. And Rabbi Yossi says, in these circumstances where you know she wasn't impregnated by her previous husband, so you don't have to wait the 3 months. Okay, good. So we have a machlokes for a mayor and Rabbi Yossi. That's step one. Step two, the Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel Lachika, Reb Meir, Begzerosav. And we paskin like Reb Meir when he has a gzera. So, okay, so now we know that what's the halacha? It's very simple. And that is that 3 month waiting period to establish paternity, that is an absolute waiting period. Meaning, we're not accepting any kind of exemptions. Yeah, but in this case, she wasn't with her husband. We know she wasn't with her husband. We're not accepting exemptions. So that's the halacha regarding establishment of paternity. So if that's true regarding paternity, so over here when we have a nursing consideration, no exemptions, period. It's simple, right? And the question that was posed to Rav Papa and Rav Huna is, don't you know this? Meaning, I just quoted you a braisa, and we know the halacha is like Rav Meir in this particular case. So don't you know this? So Rav Papa and Rav Huna, their response is very simple, lava daitan. We didn't know that. Okay. In other words, good. That's more new information. Good. We'll take that into consideration as well. Okay. So vehilchasap. I'm sorry. Let's continue before I wrap up. Mace mutter. So now, is there a 24 month waiting restriction when she is now leaving one husband to go to the next one, and she has a baby in tow? Is there a 24 month waiting period? Again, I say 24 months, recognizing the fact that there are multiple positions on the matter, but I'll just keep it simple. So is there a 24-month waiting period? So if the baby dies, she can get married immediately. However, gamalto aser, but if the baby weaned, no. In other words, the 24 months are going to be 24 months, even if the baby is weaned. So, marba ravashi amar afilu meis nami aser duma katla levazo mintzava. So the Gemara says, no, even if the baby dies, there is a waiting period. Why? Because Rachman is what the mother may do, being that she's so interested in getting remarried and not having to wait 2 years, is that she may kill the baby. So hava uvde v'chan kaseh. In fact, the Gemara says it actually happened. So it said there's anecdotal evidence that this, in fact, is a concern, is a consideration. V'lohi, and the Gemara says, no, ha'ishota havai. No, in other words, we're not going to be legislating based on a woman who's crazy. She was a crazy woman. Delo amde nishe d'chan ke b'nayhu. So normal women are not going to be doing this. They're not going to be killing their children just so they can get married earlier. In other words, yes, you can cite examples, but those examples that you cited are examples of women who are unfortunately not mentally healthy. Okay. So we now have just concluded the Gemara's discussion regarding the 24-month waiting period. If, in fact, she is looking to get married, but she has a baby in tow and she's nursing the baby, so she's going to have to wait 24 months. Again, the general concern is that if she gets married, she's going to get pregnant, and that'll stop her milk supply, and the baby will no longer have nourishment. So every woman's going to be waiting 24 months. And what we've just spent the first 10 minutes of today's daf doing is going over whether or not there are exceptions to the rule, and effectively the Gemara says no exceptions, right? We're not taking in any exceptions. We didn't take exceptions regarding the establishment of paternity, meaning a woman getting remarried has to wait 3 months to establish paternity. And the same thing is true if she has a young baby in tow. Now there is a 24-month waiting period in order to make sure that the baby nurses properly. Tanu Rabbanan, we are on Samach Amud Beis, still in yesterday's daf, but we are towards the bottom of the Amud. Harishanasala ben lahanik, harizalo tanik imolos benavolos ben chaverta. Okay, so in the event that she's given a child to nurse, she accepts the position of being a wet nurse. Okay, this is very specific labor, and so the contract of the terms. So the Gemara over here is giving us very clear contractual terms in terms of when a woman takes on the position of being a wet nurse. Number one is that she cannot nurse she can't take two babies at one time. In other words, this is only a one-on-one job description. So you can only take on one baby, can't take on another. In other words, you can't be nursing your own child concurrently. And you can't be nursing another child concurrently. Right now, we're describing where she's contracting other people. Oh, in other words, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Now I'm sorry. It took me a moment to click. Meaning, what if she's contracting to nurse twins?
Yeah.
Okay. Good question. I'm guessing. I don't know, but I'm guessing that would be an exception. That'd be my best guess. Pascha kima ocheles harbe. Now, let's say within the terms of the contract, so he tells her how much food he's providing for her. It's not enough. In other words, she needs more calories. So what's the halacha? The halacha is she's going to eat more. Now that's a funny halacha. Of course she's going to eat more. In other words, now she's not only feeding herself, but she's also nursing as well. So the question becomes, and that's a relevant question: who's paying for the extra food? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that question. And finally, lo tochel imo dvarim haraim lechalav. And finally, number three, within the terms of this contract, and that is that you can only be eating the diet that's good for nursing. But you can't eat foods that are not good for nursing. I hope you're wondering right now, what foods are not good for nursing? You don't have to wonder. The Gemara is going to tell us. Okay. So, hashta bina amart lo. So, the Gemara says, okay. So here, we have three basic rules regarding contracting a wet nurse. These rules are for the wet nurse herself proper. So rule number one is that she cannot take on another child, not her own child, and not another child. So ben chaverta mi bayis. So the Gemara's question over here right now is really simple. If she cannot take on her own child, so of course she can't take on another child. So benahu. So the Gemara says no. Mao detema benahu dechaisel avay mamsilei tvei ava ben chaverta ilav dehavalei mosar lahavay mamsilei kamash malan. So first the Gemara says, I'll tell you why both points are necessary, because when it comes to her own child, so here you can easily understand the concern. The concern is that, look, she obviously has a finite amount of milk, and right now she took on the contract to do another baby and her own baby. Obviously, she's going to show a preference to her own baby. And if considering the fact that there's a finite amount of milk, so what if she's going to favor her own child? She's going to give more to her own child. But if it's two babies belonging to other people, so she won't be emotional about it. In other words, obviously she has a finite amount of milk, but okay, we'll share. it might not be enough for each one of them. Okay, but I'll give each one of them half of what I have. And fine. So Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is, even in such a circumstance, you can only take on one baby. Now, Paska Kima Chalas Rabbe Mehecha. Okay, so if within the contract, so she was told, this is how much food I'm giving you for the purposes of being a wet nurse. So she's got to eat more. Who's paying for it? So I'm a Rav Sheshes Mishula. Okay, so Rav Sheshes says, no discussion over here. The Gemara says it really clearly. She's got to pay for it. Meaning, obviously, what she should have done is she should have written into the contract that I need more food. And that should have gone into the contract. But in the event that it doesn't, so she has to pay for that extra food. Okay. The Gemara now is going to go over a list of things that are not good for a nursing mother to eat. Okay. Whenever the Gemara gives medical advice, so we're all under advisement, which is that the medical advice of the Gemara is, right, how do we look at it in general? This is a broader question. In other words, it's definitely a chelik of Torah, meaning every word that we're going to be reading now is Talmud Torah. We're going to be learning Torah. But is it applicable for us? The answer probably is no. In other words, we are not operating with the same biometrics, if you will, as they did in the time of the Gemara. And so as much as it is all important information, beyond important, meaning it's invaluable. It's a chelik of the Torah. These are words of the Gemara we're reading, but on the other hand, so they don't have application. Right?
You can't take any drugs.
Right, correct. So I'm Rav Kahana. So here we go now. A list of things that a nursing woman should not be eating. Okay, so, but again, everything I'm saying, though, under the framework that I just laid out. Okay, so I'm Rav Kahana Kagon Kshos V'Chaziz. Okay, and watch me struggle as I'm trying to explain now what these items are. Okay, types of vegetations, obviously edible vegetations. Okay, and various seeds, dug in ketanim, small fish, adama, and earth. Okay, I'm saying this b'derech, I'm saying this as a joke, right? In other words, her mineral intake. Okay, fine. So abaya amar afilukra, right? Some sort of gourd, v'chavusha. Okay, I think they translate it as a quince. I don't even know what that is. Anyway, it's some sort of fruit. Rapapa marfila kra v'kufra. Okay, so basically kra, again, is a gourd. And kufra, basically hearts of palm, if you will. Ravashi marfila kimcha v'harsana. Okay, kimcha. Okay, that's kutach. Okay, kutach is the famous cheese dip that was used properly in the times of the Gemara. And harsana is basically fried fish. Now, some of these items are going to basically stop lactation, and some of them are just going to sour the milk, or one or the other. Either way, no good. As long as the Gemara is giving out good advice regarding what's good for the nursing mother, what's not good for the nursing mother, the Gemara is going to give other forms of advice out there as well. When the husband and wife are having intimacy in order to produce a child, in order for conception, and they're doing so by the mill, so that's not going to be good for the baby. The Gemara's assumption over here, which is again, it's a generally held assumption, even in the modern age, and that is that much is going to be affecting the development of the child, both in terms of the developing fetus and also in terms of the actual act of conception as well. So over here, the Gemara also operates with the same assumption, and so if the husband and wife are being intimate, but they're being intimate by the Bei Rechaya. The Bei Rechaya, the millstone, and it's shaking, and so they are having intimacy in an area that it's not stable. So havlu b'nei nichbe, so their children are going to be seized with some form of epilepsy. Demisham she'al ara havlu b'nei shemute, if they're having relations on the floor as opposed to the bed, so the children are going to be shemuti. Rashi describes it as they're going to have very long necks. Rashi describes it as being a bamum. Okay, the darcha ramad chamra. Now, once she's pregnant and she's walking over excrement, animal excrement, specifically donkey excrement, havlu b'nei girdani. So their children are going to walk around and they're going to be follically challenged. Yes, and I prepared this morning to make that comment. Okay, the achla chardala. Let's say she eats a lot of mustard, havlu b'nei zilzaluni. The children are going to have an insatiable appetite. The achli tichli, if let's say they're eating cress. Okay, is that a type of leaf? So havlu b'nei dufani, the children, their eyes are going to be tearing often. Achla munine, Rashi describes it as small fish. The havlu b'nei mitzia ine, children are going to have beautiful eyes. Okay, so some things are good, some things are bad. Da achle gurgashde, let's say she's eating some form of clay, mortar. So havlu b'nei muchari, the children are going to be not pleasing to look at. Deshas yeshichra havlu b'nei uchme, drinking beer. Okay, now alcohol in general, right? We all know from a modern standpoint, right, the ills of drinking alcohol while pregnant. But the Gemara over here says that she's drinking beer, so havlu b'nei uchme, the children are going to come out with a darker complexion. Achle bisre v'shas yachamre. If let's say eating a lot of meat and drinking wine, havlu b'nei barye. So the children are going to be healthy. Okay, the achla be'e, she eats eggs. Havlu b'nei einene. So the children are going to have large eyes. The achle kevre, eating fish. Havlu b'nei chinene. Children are going to have a lot of chain. So achle karpasa, which we're going to say is carpus. So havlu b'nei zivtane. So the children are going to have a lot of splendor, radiance. And the achle kuzbarta, which of course is kuzbar. Coriander. Okay, so havlu b'nei bisrane. The children are going to be, how would my mother say it? Zaftig. So the achle esrogam, so havale b'nei rechane. And the pregnant mother eats esrogam, so the children are going to have a really nice aroma to them. So Barta de Shvor Malkin, the Gemara has one quick follow-up anecdote regarding this. The daughter of Shvor Malka, Achla ba ima esroga. So the mother, while pregnant with the daughter, was eating a lot of esrogim. Havu maskele lekame avua b'resh rechane. And the father, whenever he wanted to smell something pleasant, so he would have a lot of spices, but first and foremost, he would smell his daughter first, because she smelled beautiful. She smelled wonderful. I'm Rav Huna Badaklan, Rav Huna Bar Chanina. Okay, let's pause over here. Okay, let's insert a little break. We are done with the advice of the Gemara regarding proper diet for nursing, proper conduct during conception, proper behavior while she's pregnant in order for good fetal development. Okay, all that. Now we are past, and now next. Okay, husband and wife are having the following debate. Right, husband and wife should never debate, and the shalom bayis should be prominent in the house, but it happens. So the husband and wife now have the following debate. Right, she's saying I'm nursing, and he's saying no, you're not. Now, when he says no, you're not, by the way, in other words, what he is saying is we'll hire somebody. Okay. Alternatively, she says I'm not nursing, and he says yes, you are. Okay. So now within the marital discord. So who's right? Okay, we all know who's right. But from a halachic standpoint, who's right? So I'm Rav Huna Badak La Rav Huna Bar Chanina. So we were given a test by a rabbi. So he omeres lahanik v'hu omer shelo lahanik. So shamim la tzardidahu. So if she says I'm not nursing, so we're going to be listening to her because obviously it's uncomfortable for her to nurse. I'm sorry, other way around. Thank you. I'm sorry. Okay. In other words, it's uncomfortable for her not to nurse. Right. And not only that, by the way, yeah, it's so funny. And and you look at the Rambam over here, when I say over here, not over here, but look at the Rambam when he describes it. In other words, the Rambam really talks about an emotional connection that the mother has to her newborn, and then and the attachment and the natural attachment, a natural bond that they have with one another, and she wants to nurse. And therefore, if she's insistent that she wants to nurse, even though he's saying, no, you're not, meaning we're going to hire somebody, we listen to her. Okay, now, who amir lahanik vi amir shalala hanik mahu? Now, let's say that he says that you're nursing, and she says, no, I'm not. And again, when she says, no, I'm not, meaning we'll hire somebody. So, kol hecha delav orcha, so shomim la. Now, if she comes from a family where this family doesn't nurse, okay, they are an upper echelon family. They are a family where they hire their wet nurses. That's what they do. And that's the family she comes from. So we all know the halacha because we've been hearing it a number of times in the Masechta. Let's hear it again. And that is that she does not go down to his level when she gets married. Okay. In other words, when you marry a woman who is what we call in our parlance, high maintenance. Okay. So know that she is high maintenance and that's what you married. Okay, mazel tov. Yeah, that's and she is halachically entitled to keep that position. Okay, good. So shamim la. So he archa vehu lav orche mai. So let's say it's his custom but not her custom. So mai so basa dide azlinan or basa dide azlinan or pashtina lemeha olema veinu yoredesima. So the Gemara says it works both ways in her favor. Meaning, if she's coming from a family which is high maintenance, and now she's high maintenance, good. She gets to keep that position of being high maintenance when she gets married. But let's say she does not come from an upper echelon family, but she's marrying into money. So, new, what happens to her? You marry into money, she ascends. She moves up. So, either way, either she was already in an elevated status, or she's moving up to an elevated status. Either way, it works in her favor. So, I'm Rav Huna Maikra. The Gemara is going to give a couple of ways of how we darshan, how we know this halacha. So number one, so in the conversation that takes place between Avram and Avimelech, really, it's between Hashem and Avimelech, v'hi bu'ulas ba'al, which basically Hashem says to Avimelech, you know that woman that you took? Married a woman. In defense of Avimelech, by the way, he didn't know that, or at least he wasn't told that. Okay, but either way, So, but the Gemara is darshaning that when Akash Baruch Hu says to Avimelech, v'hi b'ulas ba'al, what it means is that aliyah. In other words, okay, that's a drasha. And Rabbi Eliezer, Amar mi'acha, ki hi haisa im kol chai. L'chaim nina v'lo l'tzar nitna. She was im kol chai. And again, this is a drasha. L'chaim. In other words, she is going to have life, not pain. Meaning that whatever status was, either she's coming from elevated status, or she's marrying into an elevated status, she moves up. She has an elevation. Okay. Heichnis ala shivcha. Okay, we are moving ahead. We are about a third of the way down in Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph. Okay, we are leaving the world of nursing. That was a long discussion in the Gemara regarding nursing, over a daf of the Gemara dedicated to it. But again, in the context of marriage, you understand. It is part of the responsibility that a woman has towards her husband, that she must nurse a child. And so, as such, so the Gemara treats it with the general legal eye that the Gemara has regarding all the follow-up questions regarding the halachas of nursing. We are continuing in the Gemara, and that is that let's say she's a woman of means, she came in with a significant dowry, and now as she enters into the life of marriage, she hires a girl. So she hires a girl, two girls, three girls. So what's the halacha? We learned in the Mishnah that with every new girl that she introduces into the family, help, right? But the assumption is that the help is in the form of a woman. So with every new one, every additional girl that she brings in, so that alleviates her job responsibility. So remember the Mishnah, she starts off with many jobs that she has to do, and then with each new woman that she brings in, she's going to pair off a little bit of her tasks. Until the fourth girl that she brings in, so if she brings in four girls, so now she could sit on the throne and she could do nothing all day. And then you remember the Gemara says not advisable because what happens to with inactivity? No good. It leads to no good. Okay. So anyway, the Gemara has really simple questions. She brings in one girl. Can she basically say, "Hey, you know all that work that I'm supposed to do? She'll do it all." And shouldn't, why is the Mishnah only when we get to the fourth girl, does the Mishnah say now she's off the hook? With the first girl already, she should be off the hook. It's a simple question. The Gemara asks, Ashara Avda, Vitemale Alita Lach Itazabari Kai. Right? That woman should be in my place. Meaning just by the first woman that she brings in. Mishum da Amrla Hatarcha Lididi Ulidida Kami Didach Maitarach. So the counter argument basically goes like this. Yes, if it were just you and me, so in other words, and now you have to do all those responsibilities, okay, that's a two-person job. But when you bring in somebody else, it's true that now she is going to be helping you with the work, but no, it's no longer a two-person job. It's now a three-person job. There are three people in the family. Every time you're cooking dinner, you're not cooking dinner for two, you're cooking dinner for three, right? Aside from all the children. So in other words, that's why just bringing in one person, it's true you're bringing in a person to help, but you're also bringing in another person who needs to be served as well. Okay. So, when she brings in two girls to help, so now, once again, her tasks are diminished. But again, it doesn't mean that it's gone. again, she's not going to be losing all the responsibilities until the fourth girl. So by two girls already, the Gemara asks the same question. Hasha ara avda. So the Gemara says, now her argument seems to be really good. Here's what I did. I brought in two girls. Ah, you're going to tell me that there's more work to be done? I know there's more work to be done. So I didn't bring in one girl. I brought in two girls. Okay, so the extra work now that's going to be handled can be handled by two girls. So the Gemara says, Mishum da'amala. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the husband will say the following. Kame orche uparche. Mantarach. The Gemara says, okay, now we have help. Now we have two people helping us. So you know what that means? We're going to have a little bit of a bed and breakfast. People are going to be coming in. Rashi says for a week. Rashi says for a month. People are going to be coming in. Now that we have all this help in the house, at this point in time, you can't exempt yourself. You got to chip in as well. Shalosh Eino Matzas Amita Hashara Avda. Again, three girls coming in now. She still has some jobs that she needs to do. So and now, can't her argument be, we got three girls. It's a bed and breakfast. We got three girls that are running the bed and breakfast. So the Gemara says, Mishum da'amala nefish b'nei beis nefish orche parche. So the Gemara says, because at that point in time, his counter argument is that when you have three girls helping, so now it's a larger bed and breakfast. Meaning, people now know this is the place to come. Now, we need hospitality. We know exactly where to go for hospitality. So the Gemara says, okay, so new? So once we're making that argument should never end. So you bring in four girls, so that means that there are going to be more people staying up by us. So the Gemara says, Arba kevin the nefishi lehu misayin ahadade. So the Gemara's counter argument is that at the point of four, that's at the point where basically we have an intersection of we have enough help, and we're more than ready to handle whatever's going to be coming our way. Okay, so we are going to be operating with maximum efficiency with four girls helping, and now she's going to be able to skate, so to say. The wife, that is. I'm Rav Chana V'Yitema, Rav Shmuel Menachmeni, lo ichnisa la mamash, ala kevin sheru la ichnisa, fapish lo ichnisa. The Gemara makes the following comment, and that is that her exemption from doing the work is not only going to be in the circumstance where she is actually bringing the girls, but as long as she has the money to bring in the girls, that's enough to create an exemption. Tana Echa Sheikhniso, I'm sorry, Tana, we learned in the Braisa. Echad Sheikhniso Lov Echad Shitsimsala Mishala. Now it doesn't matter whether she came in with a lot of money. Alternatively, she's been saving. In other words, she wants to work less. She wants to do less jobs around the house and she's saving. What is she saving from? Remember, she's given money. She's given mizonos, she's given allowances, she's given money, and instead of using it all, she saves some of it in order to hire work. That would be fine as well. Arba Yoshevas Bekatadra, once there are four girls that are helping around the house, she can now sit on her throne. Amrav Yitzhak Barchanina, Amrav Huna Fapisha Amru, Yoshevas Bekatadra, Ava Mozegas Lo Kos, Umatzas Lo Amita Marchesus Lo Panaviyada Viraglav. Okay, the Gemara says like this. Even though she has no household responsibilities, but she still has service responsibilities she has to do for her husband. Okay, and that is that she has to pour him a cup of wine. One, two, she has to make the beds. And three, she has to wash his hands, feet, and face. Okay, so these are the responsibilities that a wife has towards her husband. So the Gemara says that all the other household responsibilities that we enumerated back in yesterday's daf in the Mishnah, even though she doesn't have to do those because she has enough help around the house where she gets a total exemption from those, but these marital service responsibilities are always going to be on her to do. Amrav Yitzhak Bar Chanina, Amrav Huna Kamalacha Shaisha Osa Labala Nida Osa Labala Chutz Mimizikas Akos Vatzasamita Vachatzus Panagiyada Viraglav. Now, as far as a woman when she is a Nida, so she's going to be still bound by all the responsibilities that we mentioned in the Mishnah. But these particular marital responsibilities, so she will be not doing while she's a Nida. Why? For obvious reasons, but let's spell them out. And that is that these kinds of tasks are going to engender warmth between husband and wife, and she's a Nida right now. And right now, they are forbidden from having relations. So anything that will lead to relations is going to be prohibited. So therefore, she can't engage in these activities while she's a Nida. Now, Vatsas Amita Amarevala Amarin Ella Bifanov. Aval shelo befanav leislam ba. Now, the Gemara says, with one notable exception, and that is making the bed. Making the bed, she can't do while he's in the room, but once he's out of the room, now she's in fact allowed to make the bed. And mezika sakos, as far as passing a cup while she's anita to her husband, so shmul mechafale devasayu, biyada de smola. They would pass a cup with bedusa with the left hand, i.e. with a shinui. Abaye manchale a pumatakuba. Abaye his wife would leave for him a cup, but she would do so while she's in Ida on a barrel, meaning not directly handed to him. So Rava Beisaja, Rava would put it right by the pillow. And pillow, by the way, pillow is a bad description, probably more like a cushion where he was sitting at the table. And Rav Papa Ashar Shifa. And Rav Papa's wife would leave for him the cup of wine, but on the bench, in other words, not directly handed to him. Okay, there is a lot to discuss over here regarding harchakas, the ways that a husband and wife should be distancing themselves from one another when in fact she's an ida. There is much to discuss over here, a lot of halacha lamaisa, and it happens to be that Tosus right here on today's daf, right, the long Tosus on today, mechalfa divasayu. So Tosus over here quotes a minig from Rashi that husband and wife, when she is an ida, would not be passing anything to one another. And the Gemara here speaks about it. The Gemara is not saying it as clearly as Rashi says it. Rashi says it with a lot of clarity. And there is therefore much to discuss regarding harchakas. I'm bypassing the discussion, obviously, not because it's unimportant, but because we have a daf that we have to do. But I'm just noting that this would be the time and place to discuss it. Okay. Amrav Yitzchak bar Chinah, Amrav Huna, Hakol. Mashim b'fnei Hashamish, the chutz mi basav yayin. So as far as what you would hold back from the shamish, in other words, the shamish is somebody who would be attending at a meal. So with a notable exception to basav yayin. So Amar Rav Chista. So basar shamein v'yayin yashan. Just to explain, fatty meat and old wine. Amar Rav basar shamein kol hashana kula. And again, the Gemara gives more definition. Fatty meat. So, and yayin yashan b'tkufas tamas. Okay. Just more definition. Since there is such a desire for these particular foods, so, to have the shamish waiting on these particular foods, it's just simply, it's a little bit torturous to have the shamish waiting on these particular foods, but all other foods, in other words, to wait till the end of the meal before he eats. Okay, I'm Rav Anan bar Techlifa, Kaimna Kamed Rav Shmuel Vaisile Tashila Da Arde. So he brought me a dish, and the dish was made up of what's it called? Mushrooms. Okay, Vei Lav Di Ayvli Istakina. Now, had he not given any to me, I would have been in a terrible position. Meaning, I had a strong desire for them, and I needed that desire to be fulfilled. I'm Rav Ashi, Kame de Rav Kahana, Vaisi Le Gargalide de Lifta, Bechala. Okay, I don't know. Something that was pickled. And the Ilav the Ayivli, Istakina. And again, once I saw it and once I had a temptation for it, so like I needed it, and if it wasn't given to me, I would have also been in a serious condition. Rav Papa, I'm Rafilo Tamarta de Hanunisa. Right, fatty dates. Klal de milsa, called the islay recha, the islay kiyua. So if something is producing a really strong odor, and it's got like it's pungent. So something like that. So you you see it, and you need to eat it. It's important that you eat it. Avua bari minyamim barihi safim mikol mino mina. So when the shamish was there, they would give him from the from all these foods. V'chad safe. Mechad mina, and one would only give one of the types of food. So Amar mishtai alei ba'adei, Umar lo mishtai alei ba'adei. Now the one who really took good care of his shamish, of his attendant, so he was visited by Eliyahu Navi. In other words, you're sensitive to your shamish. You take care of the people that work for you. So Eliyahu is going to come and visit you. Okay, Gemara says so. Hani tartin chaside ve'amri lei Rav Mari ve'Rav Pinchas b'nei Rav Chista Mar kadem safei. Umar Ma'acher Safei. Again, the Gemara over here, it's a similar story. So one would make sure to be taking care of his shamash immediately, and the other one would not be taking care of him immediately. Dekanim Safei, Eliyahu Mishtah Be'adei. Again, same result. The one who took really good care of his workers was visited by Eliyahu Hanavi. Izgur Malka. Okay, they were in front of the king Azgur. Okay, I can't help you. I assume Rashi writes over here was a Persian king. Okay, whatever. During the Tkufa of the Amorim. Chalav Azil Aturgana de Malka. So, and what happens is that the waiter comes by. Chazir of Ashil Amarzucha de Chavar Ape. And he saw the face, and his face was in pain. So shakal beetzbate. So Rav Ashi took from the food ve'anachle bepume, and put it right in the waiter's mouth. So amarle afsata lesuda demalka, and that's the king's food. What are you doing? So amarle amaitavet hache. So amarlehu. So Rav Ashi says to whoever had a taina on him. And over here, by the way, they're eating by the king, so it's not whoever, but anyway, so he said back in response, I'm sorry, so Amalahu, Manda Avidachi, Apostle Michael Damako. So anyone who makes food like this, so is not fit, to be eating the food. Amalai, am I? So Amalahu, Davar Achir Chazabe. So he says, there was something wrong with the food. So Batku Velo Ashkechu, they looked and they didn't find anything wrong with the food. So Shakal Etzbate, the Anach Alea, so Rav Ashi took the finger of the whoever it was, put it in the food, and Amrle Hacha Mi Bidikisu. So have you checked it? Batku Ashkechu, and they found something that was wrong with the food. So Amale Rabban in my time is Sakanta Samachta Anisa. So basically what happened is that Rav Ashi took the food, gave it to the waiter, because he saw that the waiter was in terrible pain. And then when he was called to task for basically taking the king's food, he made up a story. Something's wrong with the food. And new anase happened. And something went wrong with the food, but that was only miraculous. And the Gemara now is just challenging Rav Ashi. You know, you made up a story. You needed a miracle in order to verify your story. Like you're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, "Chazay ruach tzaras de kaparchi lave." So he gave an answer. So and obviously I don't fully understand the answer, but the ruach tzaras. In other words, there was some sort of right. He sensed that there was some tzaras that was hovering over Marzutra, and he felt that he was in a dangerous state. Okay. In other words, there was a real sakana. Let's just do a little bit more for today. Hahu rumad da amar le'ayisasa. So there was a Roman, and a woman said minastva li, and he makes a proposition to her. He wants her to marry him. So amar le. So she says back to him lo. So and she says no. So now azal ise rimane. So now he brings a pomegranate. Now we talked about foods that are really tempting, and once you see them, you really need to eat them. And I guess pomegranate is going to make it into this list. And Palivachal come on, and he starts eating the pomegranate right in front of her. So Kol Maya de Tsara La. And now basically what happens is that she has this desire, and she has this saliva that's building up, and Balate, and she swallows it, Velo Havle. But he's not giving her any. So Ad de Zagla, and she starts getting into a real critical condition. He says, look, what I'll do is I'll heal you, but you'll marry me. Hey, coercion. So, Amrlay in. So, Azal Isarimane, Palava Achel Kamai, Amrlay Kamai, the Tsaralach, Tuf Shaddai. Tuf Shaddai, Adanafka Minai, Kihutzi Iraka, the Eastais. Okay, and basically what happened was that she was told to expectorate that phlegm that basically grew inside of her. Okay, again, I don't fully understand the therapy over here, but basically he healed her. And what happened? They got married and they lived happily ever after. Gemara does not say. Okay, we'll do one more and then we'll pause. So, V'osa Bitsemer. And she'll be working Bitsemer. In other words, as part of her task, she's going to be making wool. So Bitsemer in Bepishtin Lo, yes, wool, no to linen. So Masisa Mani Rebbe Yehudi Ditanya Enu Kofa Lo La'amod Lifnei Aviv Lo La'amod Lifnei Beno. So over here, as far as his wife is concerned, so he can have her serving him, but not his father. Him, not the son. She is not forced to go feed the animals. But not in some animals, yes, some animals, no. In other words, as far as the horses and donkeys are concerned, that she's not required to do. But the cattle that she is required to do. Okay, being that I'm not a farmhand, I don't fully understand why it is that one type of animal, yes, the other type of animal, no. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afeinu Kofel La'asos B'Pishtam Imnei Shepishtam Asrichasa Pe'um Mishar Beit. So Esas Fasayim. And working with linen is hard work. So what it does is that it causes the mouth to go bad. And Mishar Beit Esas Fasayim. What you have to do is that very often you have to wet it with your mouth, and it's going to cause you to have a really dry mouth. Dry mouth, split mouth. Anyway, it's really hard work, and it's harmful. Hani mili bekitna ruma, and the Gemara says, yeah, that's by Roman linen. Okay, that's where you have these problems. Okay, well, we'll pause over here. I know we have a little bit more before we get to the mission. We'll stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Okay, let's quickly recap our day today. Samech, we finished Samech Amud Beis today. More discussion regarding a nursing woman. More follow-up questions. Once there's a legislation of a waiting period, so are there going to be exceptions? That was a big part of the end of yesterday's daf, the beginning of today's daf. The Gemara concluded that basically no exceptions. Okay, let's say it like that. Yeah, that's a fair way to summarize the Gemara. Okay, care should be taken when a woman is pregnant in terms of fetal care, in terms of even going all the way back to the conception. And the Gemara gave us advisement in terms of how to care for such circumstances. And finally, our last discussion regarding nursing, and that is that she comes from a family where they hire wet nurses, or she's marrying into a family where they hire wet nurses. So can she hire a wet nurse? The answer is yes and yes in both circumstances. Good. That was the Gemara's conclusion. She's bringing in help into the marriage. So she is going to be alleviated from some of the tasks. Only when she brings in four girls to help is she alleviated from all of her tasks. So why the number four? So the Gemara spent some time on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph going over why specifically when we get to the number four. Finally, the Gemara then went on to discuss and describe the marital obligations that a woman has to her husband, meaning even if she has four people helping, she has personal services that she has to do for her husband in order to engender warmth between husband and wife, and that she's never going to be exempt from unless she's anita. When she's anita, she'll be exempt from those activities. Good? That was all on Samech Aleph Amud Aleph. And then the Gemara segued, and for a good part of the bottom of Samech Aleph Amud Aleph, going to Samech Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara talked about foods that create this temptation, this desire. It would actually be harmful once you're putting you in that situation where you see the food and you can't eat that food. It puts you in a harmful state, all the way to the point in which Rav Ashi took food away from the king's table in order to feed the waiter, because the waiter was really having one of those moments. In terms of trying to get out of it, he made up a story. He was helped. He had siyata d'shmaya. He had an ace in terms of being helped. Okay, it's that important as an issue. Okay, Adkan, that takes us...